This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Kelly Bidlin. It is Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate Gil Alexander, the normal host of this program, checking in here. That was a weird, bizarro world.
Yeah, that was odd. That was weird.
Gil appearing as a guest on his show. I'm here and I'm not filling in for you. I'm filling in for him. And somehow he's a part of the conversation.
I also like that it's more of the bizarro. It just felt like too short of a phone call or something, right? You're like, yeah. Hey, wait, I'm not done talking to you. I usually talk to you for longer.
Tell you there's no such thing as too short of a phone call. I love a good 2-minute phone call.
Love that.
I mean, like, honestly, 2 minutes is too long.
I love the...
there's a joke there.
Yeah, there it is.
Actually, wasn't intentional that time.
I figured it was. I love the people that don't mess around at all. Like, just the... It's the old get the answer you need and then hang up, right?
Okay,
like,
so talk to you later. Here's the dichotomy of my life. My father is very much a phone person. Mm-hmm. The conversation is... I mean, he'll let it go forever. I mean, legitimately, you can't... And his favorite topic, small talk. Loves weather and gas prices.
Oh, God.
Weather and gas prices.
Oh, God.
Two favorite things.
My pops.
I can't handle it. That's why I have high blood pressure and eating habits, but that too.
Yeah, I hear you. My dad's getting worse with it as he's getting older. That's the big thing. Because now it's all the time in the world, right? You got all the time in the world.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. But see, to me, is...
That's my dad. 20 years ago, are you kidding me? He'd be the 2-minute phone call.
If I have all the time in the world, all I can think about is how many better things I could be doing with my time than on the phone.
No, I know. And I'm saying from them, they have all the time in the world. So it's like, we'll talk to you forever.
See, but now my future father-in-law, he'll call me. He'll go, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. You good? He goes, yeah, I'm good. All right, I got to go. I'm like, we didn't even make it a minute. That's the type of phone call I'm looking here.
That's great.
All right, we get tweets. Say it.
You nailed it, man.
I know, but I like when you repeat it.
Well, we get tweets?
That's our bit. Okay. We get tweets.
Well, then you screw it up, and then
we read tweets.
We get tweets.
All right, our buddy Bob Geddes writes in, super bad Rebecca Black, banana-eating HR problems, insight you can only get from two guys with combined 10-plus years of higher education. Well done. Here's the thing. I've got a bachelor's in fine arts. Yeah, I believe you only have a bachelor's as well, yet we both went to college for over 5 years. Dustin needs a 24-hour marathon show, needs to have a live bet going at all times. Well, that would be easy for me to have a live bet of all times. I like the action. What can I say?
Okay, I've got VSiN trivia for you that I don't even know if it's true or not. That's how fun this trivia is. Okay.
Paulie Howard's the answer.
Which VSiN on-air personality has more than a bachelor's degree? And there might be more than one. There's probably more than one.
VSiN, no offense to Dave and Jensen, no. Jensen went to Vanderbilt and played baseball.
Play baseball, yeah.
So he was giving
Why
up on
would he
education.
Want more than that?
And then...
You're never going to get it.
Gil is next. I would say it's... See, you're being sneaky. It's probably like Whalen or Erickson.
I am being sneaky.
Yeah, I think it's Nick Whalen or Jeff Erickson.
They might. I also don't know. I don't know the answer to most of these people.
Oh, but there is one?
I know of one and it surprised me.
It's definitely not Paulie.
Wes Reynolds with a master's degree.
Shut up.
Yeah.
He loves school.
At least that's what I heard.
Okay. So it's one of those classic VSiN things that you don't know if it's true. Okay. All right. Let's see some other tweets coming in here. Dan Groeschel writes in, Gil starts talking up Detroit. He sees 50-1 on his app. He starts to bet it. It spins. It's now 33-1 for him. I see 30-1, 40-1 here at Circa. So if you like what Gil was cooking with Detroit most wins in August, the number would be around 30-1 right now. And I have to tell you a couple reasons why the bet makes sense. And I'm going to be on my original, which is Houston at 28-1. I'll explain in a minute. But Detroit is asking for a ready-made major leaguer back for Scooble, most notably a pitcher. And if you look at what Detroit did during the season, how they clawed back into contention in the Central and being 4 games out of the wild card, they did it with the offense while Scooble was out. That's when they made the surge. The reason why I bought in on Detroit maybe a month ago was the thought that Scooble returns, the offense is clicking, they're going to go on a run. They haven't been able to put it together, but The offense hasn't really been a problem. If you look at runs scored per month, which is imperfect because it's different amount of games every month.
Right, yeah.
But in April, they scored 118 runs. In May, they only scored 81 in 28 games. How about in July? In five less games, they scored 113 runs.
Mm-hmm.
In June, it was 137. They're scoring runs. It's the pitching that needs to hold up. If they can trade Skubal, and look, it's going to be a drop-off to whoever they get in return, but is it that much when the offense is playing this much better? I think this team with Melton now as the number two, Mize is going to be traded. I do think theoretically, you know, Detroit is absolutely capable.
Yeah, I think Dan has that, you know, his last line at that price. I think I have to go full Shark Tank and be out. That's the, I have a feeling with Skubal being out there, right? And you've got to make this bet here, you know, the next couple of days if you're not going to play in the live market. I have a feeling there will be a cutoff price for people, as opposed to, I think, most other months, they would just be fire away.
Yeah, the problem is it's been cut in half now since Gil just mentioned it on the show. So either the books are listening or you people out there are hammering this thing, which we've seen happen here on VSiN from time to time. The reason why I'm going to go with the Houston Astros, I don't think people realize this, but they were the worst bullpen in baseball until Josh Hader came off the IL just a little bit ago. I guess it was about a month and a half ago, I want to say. Starting pitching-wise, Hunter Brown has been injured. They've been kind of piecing it together. Hunter Brown, who goes tonight, and I like the Astros minus 125, minus 130 tonight, but they have a huge matchup with Texas this week, or today, actually, this weekend. And I think they take care of business because I think they're starting to play better. Yordan's obviously the MVP, but the lineup is much more than that. But the pitching was so bad to start the year. You have to anticipate the positive regression. And by the way, last time I was on with you, we argued about positive regression. A very smart listener, a gentleman who is a math guy, explained that there is no positive or negative correlation to regression. And he explained it to me, and he's like, it's actually correct, positive and negative regression.
So it's just regression, though.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing it positively or negatively, regressing. Yeah. Makes sense.
But I'm looking at the schedule for Texas and or for Houston. I mentioned why I like them as a team overall with the return of Hader, Hunter Brown now back. They're still in contention in the West. I think there's a chance they steal it. Three with Texas, and then listen to the schedule coming up. Three with Toronto, not scared of the Blue Jays. They might dump everyone before that series begins at the beginning of the next week. San Diego after that. San Diego has been up and down all year. The offense is finally clicking. Who knows how long that lasts. At San Francisco, they're sellers at the deadline. Three against Seattle. Seattle can't hit, okay? Houston has a chance to sweep that series. I think two out of three is very likely. You also, after that, have the Angels. You have the A's, two of the bottom dwellers in the league. And then they get the Mets and the Yankees for five. Three with the Yankees, two with the Mets. Stop looking at the Yankees like they're the Yankees. They don't have Aaron Judge. They've been terrible. They have the worst batting average in baseball since he hit the IL. And the Mets are about to unload every piece that they can. I think it shakes out very nicely for the Astros at 28-1. That is my play for most wins in the month of August.
Like it, man. Like it. Hopefully someone gets one of them, you know?
I want to go back to our MVP conversation from a couple segments ago because you showed me the Cleve TA trends, as we decided that's how you pronounce it. And we whittled this thing down to about nine guys who can win MVP. And the trend was 13 straight, 18 of 19 MVPs on teams averaged just over 13 wins. And they were on teams since 2009 that began the year no worse than plus 315 to make the playoffs.
Yep.
We're also looking at you need to get us over 11 wins or so. That is the objective here. So I whittled this thing down based on all those parameters, and there's only nine that make sense. And obviously, they're the top of the betting board. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, those are your favorites. 5.5-1 to 8-1. You have Chicago and Cincinnati, in my opinion. That is Caleb Williams, 13-1. Joe Burrow at 8.5-1. The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, 10-1. Justin Herbert and the Chargers, 10-1. That's way too short on Herbert, though. I can't do it. Jalen Hurts is 28-1. Brock Purdy is currently sitting at 18-1. When I wrote him up in the NFL betting guide, it was 22-1. I'll tell you this, just based on a numbers thing, and I have a lot of questions about this player. Jalen Hurts at 28-1 is intriguing.
I was just writing down some names to bounce off you. And Jalen Hurts was the first one of, okay, if we want to play the longer shot game, right, who could still check all these boxes but is further out than, what, 18-1 or 15-1?
I just have questions about Philadelphia this year.
Yeah, me too.
Are we sure they win the division?
No, but I think they are accurately the favorite. The defense should be good enough to lift. I think this team's going to have a pretty high floor. Yes. I don't think they're going to fall off the face of the earth.
Facts.
Yeah.
100%. I agree completely. And if you look at Nick Sirianni's track record, when he has a quote-unquote disappointing year, mm-hmm. I think they won 11 games last year.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's still damn good. Yeah.
But when he has a quote-unquote disappointing year where things don't feel right, he comes back and he makes the proper adjustments. Like, every time he's had one of these, the next year is get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl.
I think the narrative around that team ended up going too far into the offseason and trickling into some of these preseason conversations and even some of the markets.
And,
so, like, I'm higher on Jalen Hurts than seemingly most people are. The problem is, I'm also higher on A.J. Brown than most people are, and I think that's a big problem for them.
No, that is an issue. Not having A.J. Brown is certainly an issue for this team, and specifically for Hurts. My big problem with Hurts as a quarterback is he's not accurate.
Yeah.
I know people go, well, look at his completion percentage. That's not the same thing. Completion percentage is the rate at which you are completing passes, and the offense is designed around the fact that he's not an accurate passer. That's why A.J. Brown was frustrated, because he couldn't shoot the ball downfield mm-hmm. on those shots, those 50-50 balls. He couldn't put him in a good spot for A.J. Brown to make plays. That's why A.J. Brown was always upset. That is my one hang-up why I can't bet Hurts. I also saw that BetMGM, the most bet MVP for them right now, is Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's take,
and I'm all in on Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I think he is set up to have a very, very good season. Easy schedule.
I hate the number at 8.5 to 1, but I think based on these, Jalen Hurts is the longest one you're willing to go. But I can't bet Allen. I can't bet Lamar. I'm not betting Herbert when the number's the same as Mahomes.
Yeah, totally.
And if you want to read my write-up on MVP, the VSiN NFL betting guide's out right now. Brock Purdy is who I previewed there. You can check it out. Get it for $175. Everything we do now through the Super Bowl, plus the NFL betting guide. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson, Kelly Bidlin, hanging out with you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, and it is now time for a Fezzik Friday.
Yeah, maybe not.
All right, maybe it's not time.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
He is the only two-time winner of the Hilton Super Contest. He is a professional bettor. He has a great head of hair, and he is much nicer than he appears on social media. He is the one, the only Steve Fezzik.
That was like 500 years ago, so just stop with the two-time thing.
Has anyone won it twice?
No.
Has anyone won any of these contests twice?
That is an excellent question. You know, I know Brad Powers is like the king of top five. Never bet Brad Powers to win. Always top five.
Always top five.
You'll make a ton of money. But, you know, one thing, like the last 3 years, I finished top 21 in millions, two of the 3 years.
Wow.
Okay.
So, I mean, when there's 5,000 people, must be doing something right. Yes.
Now, you're right, though. We might need to update the resume a little bit, because we're now past Hilton. We're now past Westgate.
That's valid. Right? That's valid.
We're on to Caesars at this point. Oh, man. Fez, thanks for joining us. First of all, the start of a big weekend for you, right? The boot camp.
Yeah, so we're at capacity, so we're going to be...
Betting boot camp, not workout. Although you'd like to host a workout boot camp as well.
No, I need to attend a workout boot camp. But I'm the wrong side of 60 for that. But we're real excited. We're at capacity. It's a go in 4 hours and be pulling back the curtain. In fact, what's this? Oh, I've got my ultra secret 41-page outline. If you remember the book,
yeah.
The movie, The Paper Chase, and they made a TV show about it. A guy was always working on his outline. He had his outline like better than the course. Well, that's the case with my outline.
There we go.
And Steve Fezzik, the only person in the betting landscape to have a notebook with betting information on it. Definitely the originator of that. I'm just making a joke. Making a joke. Making a notebook joke. I know people get sensitive here. Steve, I asked you on your way in about something that I get caught up in at times because I think they help frame a conversation. They help identify where a market doesn't really have a proper rating on a team based on the total or the side, and that's betting trends. And we get caught up in them a lot. I think there's a role that they play in kind of solidifying a handicap, but they're not the end-all be-all. They don't pay the bills. Where do you come down on betting trends?
You know, they actually can pay the bills if you get the right trends, but they're better when nobody knows about them, right? So for years, like one of the oldest betting trends was the Monday night home underdog, right? Monday night football, and people just made money off of that like crazy. Now, one of the trends everyone likes to support, week one NFL divisional dogs, right? That's historically, it's been so good. Double-digit dogs in week one have been great. We've got to go ahead and bet Arizona plus 11 against the Chargers. So I think that you got to be careful with trends, and what you want to avoid is under a full moon in October.
Tuesday nights.
When the Bengals are wearing their tiger, their dark orange, helmets, then they cover 88% of the time. And, a great guy, Mark Lawrence. I love Mark Lawrence, all right? And the one thing I would say, I love Mark, is fantastic with his trends and the like, but he's just, it's kind of like you go into a gourmet restaurant, you go to Barry's and you say, I want a well-done steak, right? Well, he's going to cook you a well-done steak, but back in the kitchen, they're not that happy about it. But people want a 15-0 trend. So Mark has a great trend that's like 38-9, but then he starts adding more parameters to make it a perfect trend. I'd much rather just give me the 38-9 trend without, having to have they need to be favored by an odd number of points or whatever.
Yeah, too many details involved. But my whole thing with trends, especially as the season goes on, I'm finding it in baseball right now. Some of these trends where I go for the full season, I'll look at them, they'll jump out, and I go, well, I want to back that trend because it's been right for so long, but don't the guys and the people making the numbers, aren't they aware of the trend and they start to adjust how the team's performing based on the original numbers?
No. It's one of the biggest myths.
Really?
I believe, when you hear Vegas knows everything, all right? You hear that all the time. Vegas knows nothing. I mean, it's just a myth. And the best example I can give of this, I can prove it. There was a Duquesne basketball game, 15 years ago. And the total got put up at, 144. Mm-hmm. At one book, all right? We don't know very much.com. And every single book, and what they did is the game before had been 144. So they accidentally cut and pasted and made 144. So the entire world opened 144, meaning, wait a minute, if Vegas knows everything and the correct total is 131. So throughout the day, the Duquesne total got smashed under initially it went dropped by 4 points, the next hour by 3 points. It just kept moving lower and lower. So if all these Vegas Hall of Fame bookmakers and everyone else is so good, how come there was not one guy that said, these guys are idiots? I'll just open at 133. That number's just wrong.
Because they copy them.
Everyone copies and pastes. That's the real truth. And the best evidence I can give that Vegas knows nothing also is that you will see a point spread that will be 2, all right? And everyone copies it at 2. And then inevitably it goes up to 3 maybe. And everybody deals 3. And not one person will stick their neck out and deal a 2.5 or a 3.5 because deep down they know they've tried it. It's like the hot stove. They put their hand on the stove and they've gotten burned.
Right.
Because if they make it 3.5 and it's wrong, someone's going to come in immediately and bet $50,000 with a good bet at plus 3.5. So they're just going to stay on market.
It's also why you hear us making such a big deal about shops like South Point, right? That are not pushing the extra vig, and you're taking positions sometimes like that.
Yeah. So Michael Gahn, I believe, always dictated, hey, when we deal the NFL or college football, we're dealing minus 110.
Right.
That's going to be the vig. So it's a tough situation when a line's 3.25.
Yeah.
Half the books have 3 and half have 3.5, but they're adjusting for vig. And the sound point will oftentimes ping pong back and forth between 3 and 3.5. So if you just, just be cool, wait your time, hang out, go over and
go see a movie.
Go bowling, which is much more fun to bowl two-handed, by the way. And by the way, the 3 hot dog limit, They do not enforce it. You can go right back.
You don't think the guy making the hot dogs is remembering your face and writing it down?
Believe me, that person behind me, they got enough to worry about, like making sure they don't run out of mustard.
How much is the hot dog there? It's $1.50. It's $1.50.
Went up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a big boy right now. I'm trying to lose weight. When we did the shows over there,
I ate way too many hot dogs.
I had too many days where I went, you know, I haven't eaten yet. Right. I'm about to go up to the studio. Let me grab 3 hot dogs on the way in.
And when the hot dog, when they close down, sometimes in the back bowling alley, all right, the tournament area,
sometimes
the dogs are still there at the hot dog cart, and you can still get
I did see someone on the crew do that once where I was like, the hot dog cart's been shut down. Where did you just come back with hot dogs from? And that was the answer. Yeah.
Famous hot dog stalker Steve Fezzik is our guest, professional, better at Fezzik Sports on X. You sent over your NFL power ratings.
Love
this. We'll get into your process first, but it's pretty staggering where you're at with your numbers. So you sent it over. Your number one power rated team in the NFL is the Los Angeles Rams at 6.9. But what's the drop off from them to the second team?
Yeah, what does that 6.9 mean? On a neutral site, if the Rams play an average team, they should be laying 6.9, which would be like -7 plus 100. The huge drop-off. Buffalo, my number two team, and these are subject to change on a weekly basis, even though they're number two, plus 4.3. So the Rams are light years above. The differential between them and the second-best team is 2.6 points. And then a whole bunch of other teams. Buffalo's two, and then I won't read all the numbers here. Baltimore, 3. Seattle, 4. San Fran, 5. Detroit, 6. Houston, 7. But all six of those teams I've got rated 4 to 3 points better than an average team. So it's just a cluster of teams that are very, very close together.
Yeah, I love that. And Steve, let's talk about what goes into your power ratings. Where do you start every season? What are the biggest factors in a power rating for each team? All that kind of stuff. Where do you start it at?
Everyone's different, and there's different methods. There's the Kenny White method, where he evaluates each and every player, and Kenny's fantastic, all right? I lack the acumen to have any clue to be able to rate all these players. So here's what I do. I start out with the season win number. Let's say everyone played the same strength of schedule, 17 games. If your season wins 8.5, you have an average schedule. Your power rating 0. You're obviously an average team. And the average team should have a power rating of 0. If you're rated at 9.5 for a season win, that's actually means you're 2 points better than an average team. 10.5, 4 points better. 11.5 would be 6 points better. That assumes an average schedule. Now, I got to adjust. Like, Arizona has an extremely difficult schedule, so I got to adjust for their strength of schedule. And then I start tweaking, all right? I start doing other things. I talk with Dr. Chow, and what teams were very injured last year? What teams weren't injured? So Arizona had tons of injuries last year. Jacksonville had hardly any. So I'm going to downgrade Jacksonville. They're probably going to have more injuries this year than last year. I talked to Scott Seidenberg. I get his trench report. Make a little tweak for, like, the Rams have a phenomenal O-line and D-line combo. They're Scott's number one rated trench report team, so they get a little bit of a bump. And then they look at Cleve TA and DVOA ratings, and if they've got strong opinions, like, they love Houston, all right? Smart guys, I upgrade Houston.
We'll do more on the process, Steve Fezzik and his power ratings, how he got to his top 5 and more on the other side of the break. Plus, if you Steve Fezzik in the flesh, in the wild, how should you approach? That's next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on A Numbers Game, Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander. I want to remind you guys here, Sunday is the last day to enter. Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN, they're giving away 2 prize packages that will put 2 lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. The window closes on Sunday. 1 winner, $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Another $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners will also get Winner Circle Proxy Service, a VSiN studio tour, I'll wear pants that day, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Entries close Sunday, 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN and enter now. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. Kelly Bidlin here as always. Steve Fezzik, professional better, along for a Fezzik Friday. And you know what? Proxy service kind of puts me in the direction of one thing you sent over in your notes. Have a betting partner. or people that you bet with that are all over that can help you get down. And I think it's really smart. I know, like, you, Will Hill, you have people over that you communicate, not just if you like a bet, but, hey, what's available to you where you're currently sitting? How do you handle managing that day in and day out?
Yeah, because we all have lives, right? And you're going to a wedding. You're going to a bar mitzvah. You're late, and your family's going to a movie, and you just get a tip. You got to bet Ottawa +7, right? You got to have a buddy that can just, you can just text and say, hey, get me a dime on Ottawa, best number, thank you, like, and not even check your phone.
Yeah.
And you don't want him to come back and, like, well, I can get this, that, or the other thing. It's like, you don't have time for this, all right? You just want to have a trusted guy that can make you, it's like what the NFL used to say, you make the call, right? And your buddy will say, if you ask for a dime, he says, oh, I only got you 700 because I couldn't get the best number. You know, he just makes a judgment call, and you're happy. And I've got, like, I'm fortunate enough, like, Crack is great at that. You know, like if I need to get a bet down, I know I can just text Crack and he can always do it. But I've got several people like that because you can't be working 24/7.
But it's also, we're in Nevada. We can't get down on prediction markets. So you have to have people who are in some of those states who can place something down for you. And then there's a lot of times where a DraftKings, a FanDuel, someone has a market available that we don't have out here. You text a friend, what are you seeing? They have it. All right, here, Venmo the money. Can you remember it's my ticket, though, before you cash it out?
And most importantly, when it comes to the Ottawa Red Blacks, you got to get the best of the number, you know, more so than anything else.
Well, you talk about the best numbers, and people, it's funny because I bet a lot. I'm a volume player.
Right.
And I'm the guy that tells everyone, I don't even bother the day of the game playing pro sports,
no,
MLB, NFL, Monday Night Football. What are you doing? I mean, it's not 1998. You're not going to win. The Dodgers are playing Seattle. It's obvious the Dodgers are the right side. The next day, all right? Yeah. But the Dodgers are -150. Seattle's +135. You go on to, like, some of the novig.com and some of these prediction machines, betting exchanges, the Dodgers are -139.5. Seattle's +139. There's, like, no vig at all in that number, thus the name novig.com, or there might be a -140 +139 straddle. So there's a 1 cent straddle versus a 15 cent straddle. Now that doesn't prove you can't win playing -150 or +135, but it kind of does prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really could win taking Seattle +135, you would be making millions betting Seattle +139.
Right. Yeah.
But let's go back to your power ratings though, Steve, because part of the reason why you can make snap calls and say, that's an off number, I want that number, is because you have your own numbers. And we were talking about your power ratings, where you have the Rams at 6.9. The Bills are number two in your NFL power rating at 4.3, followed by the Ravens and the Seahawks at 3.9, and then San Francisco at 3.4. You can immediately know neutral field, this is where I have these two teams against each other. Then you start factoring home field and situations that you want to also bring into the conversation. But because you have these ratings handy, you know when you look at the number, hang on, I've got to get a bet down now before this thing moves.
Yeah, so I only have 5 seconds, and San Fran is playing the Rams, and it's in Australia. I believe that would be neutral. I don't know. I got to check.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know, some big Rams fans down there.
You know, or which team will travel better. But boom, okay, 6.9 -3.4. That line should be 3.5. Well, it is 3.5, so that's not going to do me any good. But just to give an example of a bet I would make right now, I have Green Bay 2.7. I have the Vikings 0.3. So I have Green Bay 2.4 points better than the Vikings on a neutral. Now, the Vikings have a big home field, but it's a divisional game, division home field. It's probably worth 1.5 only. So I'm looking at Minnesota should be a slight underdog, and Minnesota's now flipped to a small favorite. So gun to my head, I need to make a pick on that game. I would go ahead and invest in Green Bay.
Yeah, love that. Love how you broke down how you do your power rating, Steve, because I think that the thing I love the most is you're just talking about how they're most wildly different ways from person to person, right?
And
yours are a little bit more basic, and that's fine, right? You're not going as in-depth as Kenny White and going L player ratings.
I would argue my ratings are massively in-depth.
Okay.
They're just not in-depth. They have nothing to do with the player
you're
ratings.
Not caught, you're
right.
Not caught up in the details. You're looking at it as a whole, mm-hmm.
the team as a whole. But they'd be better with the details. Let me add, like, if I could sit Kenny White and get all of his player ratings,
right,
and incorporate
yeah, yeah.
that and who's under and overvalued, even better. And it's very fluid because, like, Carolina keeps having guys get hurt. So
sure.
My number probably is a little bit too high Where do I have Carolina? I got them 25th at minus 2.7. They probably should be like minus 3.2.
Yeah.
You know, like literally you can adjust this on a daily basis, but depending upon news that's coming out.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it. This is the strategy. This is what you're looking for. It's tools to have in your back pocket. So when the opportunity comes to take advantage of a situation, when a line is on the move, you can look at it and say, this is off. Something smells funny here. Steve Fezzik is our guest. It's a weird transition back to Steve, professional bettor at Fezzik Sports on X. People are going to see you out in the flesh, in the wild. Bet Bash is coming up. You sent some stuff over about talking to you, approaching you. What's the strategy for getting the best of Fez?
Oh, you know, and just to put a bow on everything we're talking about is really bottom-up handicapping. And bottom-up handicapping, where you make your own numbers, is so good. Because, like, they put up, like, games of the year come up. And you got your numbers. You don't have to call Brad Powers. Help! I don't know who I should bet on. You can just make your own bets. And that's why, you know, Brad Powers wins every year as he winds up, you know, taking plus 18 on a team and they close the favorite. Right. And then he wins. He wins 60% of those. Well, even though I should win 90.
Wins both sides of the bet.
but I think as far as like when I'm out and about, one thing that I love when people come up and want to talk to me, it's great when they bounce like the people I'm most interested in, when they just do one thing. Someone just PM'd me and they have a site, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me. They have a Grand Salami site. This is all they do. Ooh. This is their thing.
You used to be a big Grand Salami bettor.
Still is, right?
I love salami. And
explain what it is. It's the
total runs on a scored day. On any one day. If there's a rain out, it's a push. And they have it in the NFL. So it's a really fun bet. Like, if you think scoring's going to, like, it's like Jeff Benson put this up for Circa. Total points scored in the NFL for the entire
that
year.
That's
and
great.
It's like they're anticipating like right about 46 points per game. So if you feel like with rules changes or whatever that there's going to be more three tight ends and they're going to be running more clock, then boom, you can go ahead and invest in the opinion. And the great thing about a Grand Salami, the data is you're getting so many more games that if you're directionally right, you're winning. You're going to win because who cares if there's one punt return touchdown? That's only 7 points on 12,000 points. Who cares?
Right, yeah. You don't. Yeah. Yeah. One bad beat can't hurt you. You need a bunch of bad beats
exactly.
Hurt you. Yeah. I like that.
All right, before we go, only have about 2 minutes here, Steve. First, Gil Alexander cashes 80-1. No sweat. The least sweating in the history of 80-1 bets on the Boston Red Sox to have the most wins in the month of July.
You know, Mike Palm does a great segment where you cannot be serious. I have one today. So you cannot be serious. Trolls on the internet talking flack about Gil Alexander. Oh, 80-1. It wasn't out there. Yes, it was out there. It was available. Absolutely. People bet it. And it's obvious it was available. You know why? Because the Red Sox sucked.
They were horrible.
In April.
Mm-hmm.
They were bad in May.
We buried them.
Exactly.
It's my favorite part of him cashing that bet, actually. It's not only getting the 80-1 home, it's the massive CLV that he got on it.
He did.
I mean, it was like 20-1 to close most places.
And he did like all his research, and he's like, hey, really good pitching. Red Sox have a really easy schedule now in July. It's the perfect time to jump on it. But it's obvious that they weren't going to be 30-1. They were well below average. So, of course, they're going to be priced 50-1 to 80-1. And he did indeed get the 81. He should have had a 65-1 the year before. And yet the trolls come out and they complain. You know, the same thing's really true. We talk about notebooks. So at GRP Wins is a guy that's a winning poker player. He makes sports bets. Not all of his bets are great. Some of his bets are phenomenal. He won like 60, 70,000 on Carolina and the NBA. And people were like,
yeah,
you know, trolling him and like saying, you know what? Give credit. Most people, you know, have really good ideas and they don't execute them properly. Gil has great ideas and he executes on them, you know, fantastically well. That's just an example one. And frankly, anyone that is coming in and say, oh, you didn't really bet that, probably is just a little bit, there might be some jealousy.
Well, they
involved.
Didn't bet it for sure. Yeah. And then the anger is showing. All right. 20 seconds, Steve. You went to Carbone. Scale of 1 to 10. How would you rate it?
10.
Service. Really?
Never been there before. Been to John George. I would have rated John George a 10. Now it's a 9.
It's at Aria. Hot take. The French restaurant that never has anyone in it across from those two spots. Amazing.
Yeah.
Very strong meal.
From the service to the dining room, you just feel like, my gosh, this is like... And we just had a world-class meal. Shout out Doug Comptus, there, a friend of Kevin O'Neill.
Steve Fezzik, check him out. Betting Boot Camp Plus next week. Bet Bash.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on ANG. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That is Kelly Bidlin. We are the New Age Outlaws. No, we're just too...
That wasn't as enthusiastic as you usually do.
You know what,
man? No. The finger point. Oh. Come on. It was like a full body thing before. There you go.
Yeah,
there
you know you what? I'm not as limber this morning.
Don't be slacking on everybody out there just because it's a Friday.
I didn't do my morning yoga. I'm not very zen.
Next week, Dustin will be better.
Yeah, I'll be a little bit more flexible when I make it into the studio. These chairs certainly don't help the matter. I would tell you that.
Oh, you know what? They don't, and I know nobody cares about this.
No, I leave every day. I go, why am I so sore? And I'm like, I think it's the chair.
It's that. It is that. It absolutely is. And
now, it's also probably an extra 200 pounds on my stomach, but yeah, that's
it. I don't know how you feel. I always feel like I'm sitting oddly when we're in these spots, right? The only thing I like about being in the middle is that I can naturally just sit back in these chairs because this is how they're designed, out of the way.
These chairs are designed for you to sit like this. Right. Here's the problem. The microphone is there. So you're supposed to sit like this, which would probably be the comfortable way for someone, but you have to get up on it.
We should do a whole show like this, just see the cobwebs.
Or you could sit like Paulie does. Paulie's like down here sometimes.
Oh,
like,
that poor guy's back.
Well, he's got heating pads. Yeah. He's doing stretches, all sorts of things. We get tweets. Still not on it.
I don't have to correct you. You nailed it this time.
But I like when you echo it. It feels like that's
we
the
get
bit.
Tweets.
Yeah, I go, we get tweets. You go, we get tweets. You just repeat what I say. Whatever. All right, Brandon Webb writes in on my banana comment, don't make eye contact, and it's not an HR violation at work. It's not a violation as long as you bring the banana to your mouth and not bring your mouth to the banana. That is a funny comment. Shooters Tour is trying to stir some stuff up. He said, I heard that notebook comment. At GRP Wins, they're taking shots at you. Yeah, it's called a joke about the notebook, but also plenty of credit was given to one Mr. GRP as well. Yep. These people on the internet, they just love to cause chaos. Stop causing chaos in my life.
He's still cashing Hornets bets. Good for him.
Yeah, he won a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But
we'll see him next week. He'll be out here.
There is something to be said, though. When you hit a big ticket, everyone doubts that you have the ticket, and I don't understand it. I honestly don't understand it.
No, I know. It's more than that. The part that I won't get, having played so many years of poker at high levels, competitive levels, where you're trying to take the money from the guy across the table from you. I get that. In the sports betting world, it never makes any sense to me because we're not trying to take each other's money. Why do we care? Why do we hate on everything that everybody else does?
Also,
it's not your money I'm coming after.
Hey,
I'm coming after theirs.
I didn't see that number out there. All I see is this. Well, you didn't bet at the same time I did then, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Also, and if we all cash, we all have different numbers. Who cares as long as we all win? There's also this element of I have this ticket and I'm going to defend it and I'm going to try to make the case why it should be right. Here's the thing that we get lost in that whole waste of energy. The games will be played. We will find out who's right. And then you just move on to the next one. I don't understand the outrage.
That right there, though, what you just mentioned is why I love and hate awards betting. And I do so much of it, right? Because you can sit, every year how many awards bets that I have that don't cash? And I'm like, yeah, but I was right. These guys are wrong.
The only time I've ever seen posturing work for an awards, and it was not a better, so you have to keep that in mind, is when Kendrick Perkins went on the anti-Jokic Pro Embiid tour a couple of years ago and started that conversation, which took Jokic away from winning another MVP because he hadn't won a championship yet. Which was the dumbest reasoning in the history of reasoning for someone not to win an MVP for a regular season award that they hadn't won a championship, and all it did was push Jokic to win a title that year.
Yep. Yeah, 100%, man.
But if you want more awards bets, we have some great ones in the VSiN NFL Betting Guide. Today's your last day to lock in early bird pricing on our football special that includes the NFL Betting Guide. It's $175 now through the Super Bowl before it goes to $199 tomorrow. You'll get in the Betting Guide futures, win totals, division races, player props, awards, and more. Plus Monday, the College Football Betting Guide drops. You have access to that on top of Fantasy Life's fantasy football guide that has over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings, plus full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, the AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in for the season today. And speaking of bets, we should probably get some baseball bets on the board for today, Kelly Business.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's hit your baseball bets. We barely talked about those at all.
So
we mentioned one of these, maybe?
Yeah, we mentioned the Cubs already, first five, why I like it against the Yankees. That one comes up in about an hour and 10 minutes, I believe. Let me get the exact time on that bad boy. But it's 11:20 our time, so it's at 2:20 p.m. Eastern. Yep. It's Will Warren against Imanaga. One, Will Warren has bad road numbers. Imanaga's been on a heater. Last five starts, a 1.55 ERA, but also Yankees offense scuffling, and they don't have two of their best lefty hitters. I mean, guys who hit lefties well. Hmm. Ben Rice is there, right? He's in the lineup. Paul Goldschmidt's there, lefty killer. But no Judge, no Bellinger. That really hurts their offense. I'm going to ride the hot hand in Imanaga at home. First five, minus a half run, minus 108 on the Cubbies today at Wrigley Field.
Ding, like
that's
it.
Number one.
All right, number two.
Numero dos.
Marlins, Mets, and Oppo Fezzik.
Yeah.
I mean, you could both win.
Yeah, but I'm going first five plus a half a run.
Or you both can't win. He could push, you can win.
Yeah, a couple elements at play here. One, Freddy Peralta's last start as a New York Met. I don't know how deep he's going, whether that's because the Marlins knock him out or the Mets don't want him to get injured in this spot. And honestly, I don't think he's going to do very well. He has a 6.17 ERA and two starts against the Marlins lineup this year. The Mets have scored seven runs in their last three games. Miami just took three of their last four. They swept Philly. They lost on Thursday to the Mets. I think they bounce back. I'm not a big Jansen Junk guy, but I'm not a big Freddy Peralta guy, more importantly. Mm. And I think just his time with the Mets is about to fizzle out. I'm going first five plus a half run. And the reason I did half run, not the plus money and settle for a tie and get
those.
The drop,
yeah,
is that I think there is a good chance that we are tied through five.
Yeah, I like those. I like taking that half run if you're staring at the dog. Okay, Astros Rangers here. My favorite part of this matchup, Dustin, is I feel like these are the two teams, two of the AL teams that I've heard people take stances on. Like, this is a team, I mean, Astros, we just kind of did for August, right? But like, everybody seems to be very pro one of these teams and anti the other, which is kind of cracking me up.
Well, what's funny is preseason, and I gave this out on Cashing Out, part of our core four, and they're the few that I'm right on. I have Astros under win total. It was a big win total. They're not going to get there. But I also have Rangers to win the division plus 340.
Nice. Okay.
However, I think Houston has a chance to win this thing. They're a half game out. They have just been messing around all season long and waiting in the wings. Texas's offense has been better lately. It was horrible at the beginning. Wyatt Langford just adds so much length to the lineup. And obviously the pitching with Eovaldi and DeGrom, you always have a fighting chance. But, you know, Gore hasn't been as good lately. There's some other guys in the rotation you don't love. I don't love their bullpen long term here, even though the numbers aren't horrendous. In this spot, I'm going with Houston on the chance that Hunter Brown is back into form. And by the way, I should give out, the line has moved a little. It's Houston minus 131 now, plus 109 with Texas. 7.5 is the total. Hunter Brown, his last start out, looked a lot better. And seven shutout innings at the White Sox. Seven strikeouts, no walks was the key. If he's all the way back, I love Houston long term here to make a run. But I really like them tonight. And at Texas, just a few weeks ago, six innings, three earned, five walks, four strikeouts for him. Last year versus Texas in three starts, he had a 2.37 ERA and 25 Ks in 19 innings. Eovaldi, seven innings pitched in each start versus Houston, but five earned at home, zero on the road. Mixed bag here. He's on the road where he was better last time. Does that continue? I'd rather back Houston, who I think has a lot of upside here. And I'm going full game because the bullpen for Houston, the numbers have improved dramatically since Josh Hader has been back into the fold here for this bullpen. I like Houston minus 131 here. I got minus 125 earlier. And I think they might be making the playoffs.
Ooh, I like it. I mean, what's that number? I have no idea.
To make the playoffs, it's probably all not that great just because they're in the mix for the wild card and that division. And Seattle's going to be regretting themselves by the time this thing's all said and done. Houston to make the playoffs plus 120.
Okay. Kind of throwing that out because if you and Gil and anybody else out there, right? If you're interested in this team, most wins in August, yeah, that's probably not a bad bet to toss.
Half game
well.
Out of the West, a game out of the wild card, and the teams in front of them for that last wild card, Minnesota and Cleveland. Let's think about it just on upside. Cleveland playing a bit over their skis, although I do like their young offense, but every time I say on the air that I believe in them, they get murdered. And then Minnesota, this roster being this good makes no sense. They are definitely playing better than they should. Houston has a chance. Baltimore has a chance as well, by the way. Baltimore's not out of this.
You would say Houston and Baltimore higher upside than those other two teams, right?
Oh, two completely underachieving franchises this year. And then the last play officially, and I might add more, we're going to go Shane Drohan of Milwaukee, over 5.5 Ks at the Angels. He's cleared this in 4 out of 5. The Angels, 29th in K rate, same number, 29th at home for them. They swing and miss a ton. Their lineup just doesn't put the ball in play. Drohan's been in good form. We'll see if it gets home. It's a little risky, but I do like him to get to 6 strikeouts.
Like it. What Dustin do you like, hitting Kelly? The draw on a Friday, of course. Fezzik first 5 on the Mets, so a little opposite of Dustin. And then 2 awards bets from me this week, Dustin. What do you think about these? A.J. Brown to win Offensive Player of the Year at 60-1. I'm going a bomb in that market. And one of the shorter shots in Rookie of the Year, Jhenerian Price 9-1.
Well, that'll do it for us today. It was fun, man. We'll do it all next week. I'm in for Gil. Don't go anywhere. There are prop points coming up next. Brandon Kravitz, Eric Halterman. They'll be joined by Steve Phillips. A lot of insight on the MLB trade deadline. Not a lot of activity this morning. Does that change throughout the day? VSiN has you covered, though, all over it all day long.